Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
To be with you today from New Brunswick as the Nittany Lion basketball team plays Rutgers tonight at 6:30. And time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Shoots it into Baker. 16 seconds. He's hitting foul, so they do get the foul from Alec, and that's going to send Baker an 86% shooter to the line. But to your point,
neither team has a timeout left.
Hits. It was long, 30 to the line. He hits. 3-point game. Length of the floor, 14.9.
And do they get the shot up quick? Do you foul them if you're in Nevada? Usually you don't do it if you're have more than 5 seconds.
House pounded. Up fake. 5 seconds. House prayer. Miss.
Good for Nevada. In a game seen by very few people last night.
Yes, that was CBS Sports Network.
Yes. Every once in a while I'll watch some of the Mountain West games. Yeah, once in a while. You know, I'll watch some games that, you know, late at night. Especially if I've had a game that evening and you get home and just kind of, you know, kick your feet up and you want to see a couple of other teams play. But yeah, good win for them last night. First win over a top 25 team 5 years. Great. So you're there every day. So what is the atmosphere at Soika like since you're there every game?
I think it is the best atmosphere in the Patriot League.
I love the makeup of the arena. It's a fabulous arena.
Yes.
Fans are right on top of you. And I think that adds to it. I think the design of the building I'm in tonight is very much like that, where it keeps the noise in there. We talked about Pegula earlier. All the seats are angled perfectly for hockey. The roar zone where the students sit and where the Blue Band Pep group sits is angled as it's as steep as I believe code allows. And that was done deliberately. And if you notice, what is the internal roofing of Pegula happen to be? It's that tin on top. Why? Because in thinking of everything, they felt that that would keep the noise in and reverberate off of that. Now, that's the internal roofing. So it has nothing to do with the external roofing. But the internal roofing of it is that tin where it just like flies off of the thing, flies back down. So that's why you know it gets loud, and it's great in that regard. One thing that you'll notice no matter what with Penn State, it doesn't matter what sport it is, if the game is in the middle of the week or the event is in the middle of the week, you're just not going to get as many people attending. So let's use hockey as an example. Hockey, for the most part, is a Friday-Saturday sport, correct? Well, as a Friday-Saturday sport, every once in a great while, especially in the non-conference, they have to play, for whatever logistical reasons, a Tuesday or a Wednesday, right? Guess what? The tickets are sold, Matt, but the building is half-filled. right? Because, I mean, the tickets are sold, but the building is physically half full. I mean, even the wrestling dual meet on Friday night, there were empty seats there.
Correct. Swag is the same way. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, the wrestling dual meet with Michigan on Friday night, all the tickets were sold, but there were empty seats. You know, not a lot, but there were some empty seats. And it was a little bit earlier on a Friday. That was the 7 o'clock. I think this time around, they're going to, you know, now how people want to handle the weekend, it's up to them. But the Iowa dual meets at 8:30 on Friday night. The dual meets on Sunday, like this time around with Michigan State, was 1 o'clock. I think that was a pretty good time for a lot of people to get back. The Saturday game for Penn State basketball-wise was a 2:15 start. That's a great start time. You know, a lot of people say, well, the students, and how were the students from the night before? No, 2:15 is fine. But they've got to create. This is a fun, exciting team. Now, was the first half a tractor pull on Saturday? Yes. Okay. And that's been, unfortunately, a pattern with a lot of Big Ten games across the conference. There have been a lot of tractor pulls along the way. This game is a rock fight tractor pull possibility tonight. It's the way Rutgers plays. And it's also the way the conference is being officiated. Okay. All right, enough's enough there. All right, on that. I already made that point before. But the problem you're going to have in the Big Ten is going to be this. You're playing Big Ten basketball. At least five of your home games, minimum five of your home games, are going to be during the middle of the week. Simple as that. It's very difficult to get the building filled up in the middle of the week, and it doesn't matter what the sport is. You notice wrestling never wrestles during the middle of the week. It's always Friday, Sunday, right? Over to Friday, Sunday. It's always that spot. All right, so that works out really well in terms of not just selling tickets, but having seats filled, for example. Basketball in the middle of the week, that's going to be a tough sell. Doesn't matter what time you play. Like the Wisconsin game next week. So no, 2 weeks. The Wisconsin game in 2 weeks. Now, Jason Horowitz is doing tonight's game on BTN, is doing the Wisconsin game on February the 5th. You know what time that game starts? 8:30 on a Wednesday night. Okay, that means that if you come from Johnstown, you come from Harrisburg, even you come from Williamsport, for example, okay, you're going to be home. If you live in Williamsport, you're going to be home between, 11:30 and midnight? If you live in Harrisburg or Johnstown, you're going to be home, between 12:30, maybe 1 in the morning, something like that. Right? You know, and who knows what the weather's going to be like on that Wednesday, on February, the 8th? I mean, who knows what that's going to be like? Right? And that's in the middle of the week. I mean, because when you look at the various markets in the Big Ten, Madison is a city of 200,000. That's within the confines of the city. 200,000. Lincoln's 200,000. Right? Those, you know, to quote some of the smaller ones out there. Right, nothing's like Penn State in terms of the market. So the weekends have become very important. But then once you get them in there, right, and then, you know, and the students really have to take this upon themselves. You've got to then create an atmosphere that people don't want to be in. I don't mean the home team. Create an atmosphere they don't feel like being in. And we talked about, you know, your beloved Eagles there. The Lincoln Financial Field atmosphere is phenomenal. It's second to none. Now, of course, the Eagles start losing. They turn on them like dogs. But, I mean, that's a different story. But yeah, but the atmosphere is phenomenal, and they boost the home team. And, look, I think, you know, with a guy like Brock Purdy, it's going to play somewhat of a role. A more experienced quarterback, no. Now, because they're going to have to silent count, things like that. Well, you want to make sure that when a team's in a huddle, why do you think teams now huddle up away from a bench on the road? They started doing that years ago and bringing the chairs out because they couldn't hear each other in the huddle. Couldn't do it. And that's why they do it. So that's why he's talking about creating atmosphere. This guy's trying to create a program here. He's trying to create juice. And I, as I said to somebody earlier today, I said, I've talked about this issue for four decades now. Right? And to be honest with you, as a head coach, I mean, no offense, why does he have to talk about it? He feels compelled to, but why does he have to talk about it? You know, you would think it would be something that's natural. Right? When people talk about, well, the basketball team's not very good. Well, they're 13-6 right now. They're 4-4 in the Big Ten, and almost everybody has them at the moment in that area of probably being in the tournament. Maybe as part of the last four in, maybe as part of being Dayton, but right now they'd have them in the tournament. Right? Well, in other words, that's a bad basketball team? I'm confused. I've seen some bad basketball teams in my time. All right, this one is experienced. It's fun. It's entertaining. Yes, it has flaws. Obviously, one of the big flaws is the ability at the moment to play inside. Okay, there's no question about that. That is a flaw. And, of course, in a league that is very heavy with outstanding big men, where it's Cliff Amore tonight, and then on Sunday it's going to be Hunter Dickinson, and then next Wednesday it's going to be Zach Edey, and then back to Derek Walker after that. You know, as you can see the pattern we're talking about here. That's been the flaw with this team this season, has been that one area that they've had some ups and down handling. But the other part, they're fun to watch. I mean, 68% in the second half on Saturday, scored over 40 points in the second half. You got teams in the Big Ten scoring 48 points in a game sometimes. They scored that in the second half on Saturday against a team that was ranked 24th defensively in the country, 24th rated defense in the country. They were able to do that. Now, do they have to hit shots? Sure, of course they do. But, you know, I'd be, well, they aren't very good. They're 4-4 in the league. I'm like, I'm looking around like, okay, do you have a handle on how good the Big Ten is? Do you have a handle on the fact that right now people have them in the neighborhood of getting into the tournament? Right? Now they need to make the big push to get there. And that is the point that's being made by Micah Shrewsbury. Right? I need every advantage I can get to help these kids get there. Right? I think that's what he's trying to say. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I'm looking out at a swamp. That's just screams, welcome to New Jersey. All right, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Penn State Rutgers coming up tonight. Rutgers last played on Thursday night at Michigan State. They had the weekend off. That was their weekend off this season. Penn State played Saturday, had the quick turnaround, and they will play tonight. Hey, you can't think about such things. Just go with it. You know, the arguing about how a schedule's crafted and so forth, we can talk about in the offseason. Nothing ever changes. So I was talking about that Wisconsin game on the 8th. Poor Wisconsin's got to go from that to Lincoln next. Right, well, who the heck schedules a game on a Wednesday in State College and then have to play in Lincoln on Saturday? Right, they're going to stay on the road. They're going to stay overnight, and they're just going to keep going. It's like, geez. I worry about the thought process on this stuff sometimes. But, you know, you play. So they're here, set to go. Fun shoot around today. Got some work done, took care of business. And now they'll play tonight. It's going to be a rock fight tonight. It's the way Rutgers plays. It's the way they're allowed to play. And I think, you know, and they're one of the top defensive teams in the country. I think I mentioned Nebraska's 24th in statistical defense. I think Rutgers is third, if I recall correctly. And that's how they play it all season. They try to keep games in the upper 50s, low 60s. Normally the games are pretty close. And that is, you know, that's how they play. And they picked up some good wins. They won at Purdue. Remember, they beat Purdue here last year on a miracle shot from midcourt. But this year they went to Purdue and won. They had a game at Ohio State that was stolen from them, to be honest with you. Guy for Ohio State went out of bounds, came back in, got the ball, then hit the shot. Well, that's it. Yeah, that was a wrong sequence. So they did get ripped off in that regard. But they have the same record as Penn State. They're both 13-6. You have a bunch of teams. There's such a bunch right now in the Big Ten from top to, I'd say, three-quarters of the way through. And Jason Horowitz and I were talking about that today, about, you know, how everything is just so bunched up in the conference. And he asked me, he said, have you ever seen it before like this? I said, well, normally, I said, you've had a grouping of teams in the bottom, usually three of them that have separated themselves negatively from the pack. I said, that really hasn't happened with this particular year. Hey, you know what? So you see, if they win tonight, it's a quad one win. Simple as that. So that's the basketball side of it. We've talked about the atmosphere side of it. And, of course, you were in Philadelphia on Saturday night, and you saw one of the 10 greatest atmospheres in all of professional football. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, every game, like top five atmospheres in all the NFL. I mean, obviously we haven't been everywhere, but you can guess. I mean, that crowd's wild, raucous, and into what's going on.
It was from start to finish. It was one of the best times I've ever had at a game.
Well, big game, big moment, chance to advance. They did. They advanced easily. 38-7, played great. I mean, it turns into a real party and carnival atmosphere, doesn't it?
Especially when you're winning that big against a division rival, and you got their fans in your stands too, it just adds to it. It's great.
Well, for the most part, there are their fans in the NFL stadiums all over the place. I mean, did you hear the Dallas fans in Santa Clara the other day?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't shocked by that either.
No, but that's the way it is in almost every stadium in the NFL right now. There are a lot of current fans that are getting season tickets, picking which games they want to go to, all right, which is their prerogative, and then selling their tickets on the weeks they don't feel like going.
Exactly, yeah. That's how I've gotten tickets to other Regal games I've been to in the past.
Yeah, but this is happening on the road. I mean, you go with a certain, I mean, even I remember talking with Mark Vandermeer, and Mark is the play-by-play voice of the Texans. And the Texans played a game in Arlington against the Cowboys. And the feeling was that half of that stadium were Houston Texan fans. And I asked Mark, I said, somebody said that. He goes, no, Steve, he said, it's true. He said, we couldn't believe how many Texan fans were in there. That's in Dallas. You're not surprised. There's no loyalty in Dallas.
Well, I was a little bit surprised because it's the Texans.
Just let your hate. Well, it's a relatively easy trip. This is the part where you allow your hatred to come out.
I mean, it's not in Dallas. It's fine because that's their team in their territory. It's the fans up here in the Northeast that maybe go down to Dallas that I have a problem with. If you're a fan, if you're a Cowboy fan, you live in Texas or somewhere in this or in that Southwest area, that's fine. But if you're a Cowboy fan up here in the Northeast, then you're a cockroach.
What if you were told 1/3 of our listeners were Cowboy fans? Would you be using that kind of vile language?
Exactly right. No matter what, I give you my honest opinion.
Click, 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 click. We have not had your rant of the day yet.
We have not, no. I have, and I got two.
Two?
I do, yes.
Well, you're going to have to get them out in the first 10 minutes because, as you know, I'm leaving at 4:45.
Yes.
I got to hit the road here.
Then I can finish it up on the backside.
I'm looking at the traffic here on Route 1, which is moving right now rather well. As it goes by the Regal Theaters. See, the Oscar nominations came out today?
I did see, but I can't tell you who's on them.
Did you? I mean, I looked at it. The only movie I saw was Top Gun. The other ones, I'm like, I never heard of half of them, if not more. Like, okay. Oh, well. When's the last time you went to a movie?
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, where it's 11 and 15 Humbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department. Great technicians, do great work, routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We are getting texts, emails, Instagrams, Twitter, and calls. Where is the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day?
Well, before I get to that, to answer your question from the previous half hour, it's been at least 2 to 3 years since I've been to a movie. The last movie I saw, I think, was the last Star Wars sequel that came out. So there you go. As I said before, I'm not much of a movie guy.
Yeah, it's been years since I've gone to one. So, I mean, I end up, like, for example, I saw Top Gun, but I saw it on Epics the other night. So, all right, so what is your rant of the day other than Carl Sheffers being named the Super Bowl referee?
Well, I'm okay with that, by the way. What I'm not okay with is the officials for the NFC Championship game on Sunday are the officials that botched up the pass interference call for Giants Commanders later in the season, the second matchup. And that had the debacle with Terry McLaurin on the line of scrimmage. I mean, what are we doing, NFL? Once again, what are we doing? Giving, you know what happened with that crew, but yet they somehow have enough points to do the NFC Championship game? There's something that doesn't add up here. You have Bill Vinovich. You have, trying to think of other ones that I like. He just did the Eagles game this past week. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Oh, I mean,
Cleet Blakeman.
You mean the one where the giant? You mean the one where the giant defender got pushed into the Eagles player and it was called a personal foul? Yeah, that was the great call. had nothing to do with the outcome of the game, but it was a horrible call.
They did miss that one. But other than that, I like Lee Blakeman.
He got pushed into him. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So, but there's that crew. We're all in this crew? And Ron Torbert's not too swift either. He's doing the AFC Championship game. It says, I'd like to see this point system.
I've talked to Ron Torbert. Ron Torbert speaks very highly of you.
I'd like to see this how this point system works. That's all I'm saying.
It's probably done upgrading for the entire season.
Yeah, because those two groups of officials should not be doing the championship game.
I'll tell you, the Sheffers calls more penalties than anybody. I mean, his penalty numbers are way up there, which is interesting. But that's, and they also keep track of that as well. The number of, percentage of penalties per plays that are called in a game. They do keep track of that. So you are not happy with the officials. You feel they're bought and paid for by the 49ers.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but I could have made better choices for the officials.
Seems like in your Philadelphia bias, you're indicating that.
All I'm saying is there's better groups of officials out there. One was just at the link last week, minus the personal foul call.
They all make mistakes.
Exactly.
It's not a perfect game.
Yes.
And what's your other rant?
The other rant is, I hate to give these people more airtime when they put out these ridiculous takes, but now we're just getting stupid. We're talking about the quarterbacks, comparing the quarterbacks who's left, and you should put Mahomes and Burrow ahead of Hurts. I have zero problem with that. I would do the same thing. But then you have Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk, who has said stupid things about Jalen Hurts in the past, just a couple weeks ago, calling him a system quarterback. And now he says he would rather have Daniel Jones as a passer than Jalen Hurts. And he thinks that Daniel Jones' athleticism and running ability is close to Jalen Hurts. So that's ridiculous take number one. Then you have ridiculous take number two, from Craig Carden on FS1. Shocking, this is Fox and NBC, So take that for what it's worth. He's got Mahomes and Burrow 1-2, which is fine. But then he puts Brock Purdy ahead of Jalen Hurts. Now we're just getting stupid. You mean to tell me that Brock Purdy has had a better postseason than Jalen Hurts? His exact argument was, always won more playoff games than Jalen Hurts. Guess what? Jalen Hurts had a bye. You nitwit. Jalen Hurts only 157 yards passing. Did you not watch the game? The Eagles were running all over the Giants. Of course he didn't pass for that much. Again, what are we doing here? Are you really that dumb? Or are you just trying to create something just to get something going here and getting clicks? Because that's also a major problem, too. And I have to think it's the latter. Because I don't really think anybody's that dumb. It's just like, you can have dumb takes like Chris Sims. That whatever, that's fine. That's his prerogative. But when you get to someone like Craig Carden and you're physically putting a rookie quarterback ahead of Jalen Hurts left in the postseason, I'm sorry. Now we're getting stupid. I rest my case.
Because the game was a rout, I assume you still have several of the paper bags remaining I sent you.
Yes, I do. I'm saving them for Sunday.
I just wanted to make sure. I think you may need one now. of all that, I'll say the one area I do disagree with you slightly is actually, I think Daniel Jones does run as well as Jalen Hurts. Hurts is an exponentially more accurate passer, especially on the deep ball, than Daniel Jones is. But the ability to move has been Daniel Jones' calling card in the NFL. So he moves about as well as Hurts does. He's had to. He has, really is not. I mean, I've always felt that that was actually the strongest part of his game. He became a better passer this year, but Hurts as a thrower, his accuracy has become just outstanding. To go with the fact he already is a great runner, but don't take away from Daniel Jones' ability to run.
Oh yeah,
so I think that's what you're discounting there. Don't discount, because I felt that that was actually part of one of the better parts of his game in his first 4 years in the league, as opposed to him being a thrower. He then became a better thrower to go with his running ability. Hurts, meanwhile, has become a tremendous thrower to go with his running ability. Hurts is the better thrower. There's no question about that.
I 100% agree with that as far as Daniel Jones goes, but I just think Jalen Hurts is a little bit is faster. Not by a lot,
oh, sure,
but a little bit, and he's more athletic. And if you ask me for a runner, I'd rather have Jalen Hurts, no question.
You made it seem like it was a wide margin, and it's not a wide margin between the two as runners go. But Hurts is an outstanding runner, has become a tremendously accurate passer, especially on the deep ball. His deep ball throwing has been really terrific.
It's exponentially better than last year.
And it's... you know, I think Hurts is, you could make, of the top three guys, and Purdy's not one of them, the top three guys, you can make a solid argument for any one of the three remaining. Burrow, Hurts, Mahomes.
Absolutely.
If you were to argue that Hurts was the best, you would have solid arguments. If you were to argue that Burrow was the best, you'd have solid arguments. If you were to argue that Mahomes was the best, you'd have solid arguments. All three of them, you could have winning arguments with, because I think all three are that good. All right, and I think and anybody who really is not, that is still picking on Hurts, I don't feel like they're have watched the games closely enough to see how really good he's become, and he's worked himself into that. He's made himself into this. This is a guy who made himself into a better, more accurate quarterback. This is a guy that drops the ball in the bucket on the deep ball. Has he been blessed by being given better players to throw to? Yeah, but everybody needs that. I mean, Joe Montana had Jerry Rice. He had John Taylor. You know, I mean, it's Tom Brady's last Super Bowl, he had Godwin and Evans and Gronkowski. I mean, you know, it's amazing. You know, good receivers make a better quarterback. A better quarterback makes good receivers. That works hand in hand. And Hurts has made himself into a much better player into the credit of the Eagles. They gave him better people to throw to, too. Yeah. Works hand in hand. Brock Purdy. Anybody's making an argument that he's better, I'm sorry. He's got 7 starts in his career. Let's just slow down here, okay?
I would like to send Craig Card and Neil Coulong's our interview with Neil Coulong just now, because I thought Neil put everything in perfect perspective for this weekend and going forward.
I mean, and San Francisco may win the game, and Purdy may play well, but the big reason is going to be is they have San Francisco surrounds him with McCaffrey, with Mitchell, with Kittle, with Samuel, with Ayuk, with Williams, McClinchy. They've surrounded him and given him the best chance where Brock Purdy doesn't have to win the game. He just has to keep from not losing the game. He has to keep from losing the game. In other words, he has to keep from not losing the game. Don't make the big mistake. Right? That's really what he is charged with. He is charged with not losing the game. He is not charged with winning the game. That's where he is right now. And that's where you're going to find most third-string quarterbacks. Look, just go out there, make some plays. We'll give you the best chance that we can to call the game for you. Just don't do something dumb and lose it for us. Okay? And I think that's where he is right now. And I give him a lot of credit because guess what? He has stepped in and he has done exactly that. And he should get credit for doing what he's been asked to do. He has not been asked to win the game. He's been asked to not lose the game. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts orchestrates the whole game. Right?
Exactly.
Do you feel better?
I do, yes. As always, this is very cathartic for me.
I mean, to make this a therapeutic segment and to have the audience feel better for you means a lot. All right. Matt will take it on the rest of the way. I'm going to hit the traffic because we're on at 6 here. So I'm going to make sure, you know, it's one of the keys is to actually get there on time. And we'll do that here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Wrapping up a Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve, getting ready now for Penn State and Rutgers tonight. We will join that in progress. I don't know if we'll have if we are able to, if it's done before Shikellamy basketball. I'm not sure if it will, because we have Shikellamy basketball tonight. Shikellamy taking on Shamokin. Shamokin going for program win number 1,000, by the way, tonight. So we'll have that coming up with the Chief and with the suit at 7:15. Of course, Penn State's on at 6:30. So, time permitting, we'll join that game in progress. But if not, we won't have that game tonight. But we will have Sunday's game against Michigan. And for Penn State tonight, Steve and I alluded to this briefly yesterday on the show. This is a big week for Penn State if you want to see them climb up the standings. It is a cluster right now, as Steve talked about earlier. Penn State is 4-4 right now with Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And half game behind Michigan State at 5-4. Northwestern's in there too at 4-3. And then Michigan and Rutgers are 5-3 with Purdue 8-1. So you look at tonight, Ohio State's playing Illinois tonight, besides Penn State at Rutgers. Tomorrow, Northwestern plays Nebraska, as far as teams still in front of Penn State. But then Thursday's the intriguing one. Now, Iowa and Michigan State play each other too, which is also intriguing, but Purdue goes to Michigan Thursday. So if you're Penn State, this is a golden opportunity that if you can find a way to take care of business tonight and grind down to win, which is going to be a tough one, as Steve talked about all show, and I concur. But if the Penn State can find a way to win this game tonight on the road, and then you can beat Michigan at home, well, then you might find yourself in a battle, if not all alone, in second place, depending on how other games shape out. Because that's a tough game for Michigan, of course, playing Purdue at home. And Purdue now, of course, the newly recrowned number one team in the nation after Houston went down to Temple over the weekend. Wednesday's action, by the way, is Wisconsin's at Maryland, Northwestern at Nebraska, I mentioned, and Indiana at Minnesota. So this is a golden opportunity for Penn State this week to climb up the standings, especially with Michigan hosting Purdue Thursday night. So we won't have tonight's game for you since we have Shikellamy basketball tonight. We also have Seals Grove basketball tonight over on the SBC Sports Live YouTube channel, myself and Ray Moyer. Seals hosting Jersey Shore. It's senior night tonight for the Seals, so we'll have that for you at 7:15 to start. We'll have this start with the senior day, senior night ceremonies, and then we'll get into the game. Then over on SBC Sports Live 2 YouTube channel, we have Seals Grove Wrestling at Southern Columbia tonight with Spencer and with Steve Williams. So we got a busy night of local stuff tonight across our SBC platforms. And, of course, you got Penn State tonight at 6:30 in Rutgers, and then you got Michigan coming into town Sunday afternoon for a noon tip, 11:30 pregame, right here on WKOK. And looking at Sunday's slate, by the way, Purdue will then go to host Michigan State, and then Rutgers will play Iowa on the Sunday slate. Saturday, it's Minnesota, Northwestern, Illinois, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Maryland, Ohio State, Indiana. So we're going to find out some things, start to find out some things at least, during this week and heading into the weekend with everything jumbled up right now, since everybody's basically going to be playing each other through the weekend starting tonight. So it should be pretty interesting. And then as far as going back to before, as you all know, I can't ignore stupid. You know, it's one thing to have the takes of Chris Sims, which I totally disagree with. But then once you start putting a rookie quarterback that's had 7 starts ahead of what Jalen Hurts has done this year, then we need to reevaluate ourselves here. No matter what your goal is of the take, let's take a step back in what you're actually saying. That's all. That's all. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We'll talk more about Championship Sunday, recap Penn State hoops tomorrow. Merrill Reese joins us on Friday's show at 4:06. Can't wait for that. And who knows, we might have some more up our sleeve as we continue through the rest of the week. Thanks for joining us as always. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.